This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
This week on Meat and Three, we continue our trade series with a piquant look at the many faces of the spice trade, from the high price tag of saffron to the ubiquity of chilies and the potential ripple effect that farmer protests in India may have on the global spice market.
You know, farmers are protesting because they feel like their lives and livelihoods are on the line.
You find it in a lot of cured foods, like cured meat and Parmesan cheese. You also find it in ripening foods, like ripe tomatoes are very high in MSG. So there's sources of it all over the natural world.
Tune in to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bum-ba-dee-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum! Welcome to Life's a Banquet, a show about all things edible, spreadable, pourable, and lovable, huggable, squishable, and mushable. With your hosts, me, the host of the Love Boat, and...
And me, a pirate of the Caribbean.
Okay, good to know. Now, in my mind, the Love Boat was a game show, but I am now realizing it was not.
Like, there is no host.
No, not yet. Not yet, there's not. That's what I like to say.
Yeah, it was now, like a cruise ship, I guess, right?
Yeah, so I could be the captain of the Love Boat.
Yeah, you can. And I can be the Tennille of the Love Boat.
Now, folks, if you're bothered by the sound of someone eating in a podcast, I apologize, but I'm having some peanuts because I just realized I was very hungry.
That is kind of gross, though. I think you should stop eating them.
I'm going to have just one more. Look, I have a migraine today, as I mentioned.
Now, the slurping sounds of me drinking something, that's fine.
Yeah. You know what? Peanuts get a bad rap. I know a lot of people can die from them. It kind of sounds like penis, which might offend some folks. But, you know, we hear all about nuts this, nuts that, almonds, cashews, walnuts. Why aren't peanuts more popular for your health? That's what I'd like to know.
Why aren't they? I don't know, because they're, like, lame.
No, they're delicious. And I just feel like peanuts have a bad stigma attached to them. And I'm here to change that.
Not a big peanut fan. I like it when they're squished up into a butter.
Heard of it. Yeah, peanut butter. Delicious. I love honey roasted peanuts. I love regular roasted salted peanuts. I've never had a boiled peanut, but I'm willing to give it a whirl. I'm sure I'd like it.
They're fine.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, if anybody knows where peanuts took a wrong turn, they're almost like, you know, just one of the, like, the bad, they're like the good son or the bad son.
My dad loves peanuts. He eats them, like, every day.
Well, I should meet your dad because it sounds like we have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this Valentine's Day, consider peanuts. This Valentine's Day, pack your belly full of peanuts. So delicious. Anyway, enough about peanuts. We should talk about how Matt Damon is dead.
That's an inside joke. Don't go to the rushing to your phones to check out if it's true or not, because he's, I think, still alive.
Let's hope so. No, he's alive. We had some technical difficulties before this, and I tried to get a joke going about Matt Damon being dead. Wasn't funny then. It's not really working now.
You got to workshop it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a tight five about Matt Damon being dead. Sorry, Matt Damon. We know you're a listener of the show, and we don't think that it's funny if you died. But also, anyway, what's going on with you?
I was just trying to think of my favorite Matt Damon movie. It's probably I do like The Bourne Identity.
Really? I've never seen any of them.
Or The Bourne Supremacy. Or all the other ones. I can't remember the names of any of the rest of them.
The Bourne Opportunity.
Yeah. But I really like The Talented Mr. Ripley. That's a good movie.
Yeah. The Talented Mr. Ripley is good. I know your favorite is obviously Good Will Hunting.
I hate that movie.
That movie does not hold up. I recently watched it. Love Robin Williams, obviously. And you won't stop talking all about this Ben Affleck guy. So I decided I would give it a whirl. And I didn't like it. I found it to be very cheesy.
It's very, very schmaltzy and whiny. And it very much like, I don't like to be emotionally manipulated cheaply. And that's what it feels like it does.
Mm, absolutely agree. I will say, though, Minnie Driver is a delight.
She's great. I wonder, her career is so interesting to me. She like got really big and then like got down to 90 pounds and like went back to England or something, or Australia, wherever the hell she's from. And
wait, she got big, like famous, or she got bigger, like as a person?
She got really famous.
Mm, okay.
And then she like lost a ton of weight and was just like scary skinny. And then her family was like, come back home and get better. And then she kind of, her career just didn't really take off. She never became like a megastar.
Well, she is named Minnie.
Right, so she's probably British. That sounds very British.
Minnie! Minnie is a cute name, isn't it? Is there a cuter name than Minnie?
No.
Minnie! Minnie Tangora? I'm going to start going by Minnie Tangora.
No, you're an average height.
No, I'm going as Minnie Tangora in hopes to revamp my image, which is very bad now. Very bad. It's all peanuts and jokes about Matt Damon being dead, and I need a new look, a mini look.
Okay.
Anyway, what's going on with you? What have you been doing?
Nothing. Sort of falling into the depths of despair, as one does in the snowy wintertime in Midwestern Indiana. There isn't a lot going on. I've been watching some TV that I would not normally watch. So I've been watching movies that I never caught when they were actually out. So I saw Deadpool for the first time.
Oh, yeah. I saw that when it came out. And I was like, meh. It was fine.
It was fine. Yeah, it's also like not appropriate for 7-year-olds. So don't have your 7-year-old nephew watch it with you, because it's the only thing that he'll watch. Because there's naked ladies all over the place and swearing and lots of gore.
Yes, much gore.
And then I watched Irresistible, which is that movie that Jon Stewart wrote, starring Rose Byrne and Steve Carell.
How was that?
It was bad.
Oh, no! I don't want to hear that. I'm just going to not watch it and just pretend like I never heard anything about it, because I do love Jon Stewart so much.
Yeah, it was bad.
No! I won't hear it.
The only redeeming quality was that it seemed as though Steve Carell, age 58, was supposed to get together with Mackenzie Davis, age 28, and I was pissed off about that. And then he mentions that to her, and she's like, in what world would be okay for me to date you? And he's like, New York, L.A., Dallas, Houston, Miami. Like, he lists all the cities.
I feel like it's fine everywhere.
Yeah. But they didn't get together, and I was relieved.
Thank the Lord.
Then my dad said that maybe Steve Carell's character is supposed to be 40, not 58.
Oh. Well, that's very interesting. Dad. I have been watching, I binge-watched two shows, which everyone had been just chit-chatting about, and I was like, I'm not much of a show person. Like, I don't watch a lot of TV shows. I'm more of like, let's see if I can find the absolute worst movie ever made and watch that five times in a row until I fall asleep in a puddle of my own tears and sweat. But I did watch Search Party. I binged it, loved it. It was so fun. And I watched I May Destroy You in 2 days. And I mean, not fun, but really, well, kind of fun. That's a great show.
I liked I Will Destroy You. I feel like Search Party was good, and then it just really gets very bad.
I don't know. I still kind of just liked it. I mean, I see what you mean, but I still was into it. I was already hooked, so I got into it.
Yeah, I watched it all together, too, but then I didn't even finish the final season because I was just like, no.
Really? You didn't even care about the mystery or how it ended?
No.
I find it very panic-inducing to me, spoiler alert, to think about being captured and held against my will. It's like probably my worst fear. So it did cause me a lot of anxiety.
I did like that burger from Sex and the City is still getting work.
Ron, what's his name?
I don't know. Ron Howard? Ron Burgundy?
Ron, my parents' friend's husband? Ron Livingston.
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman. Yep. Ron Perlman, what an interesting looking guy. Did you watch the Super Bowl? Obviously, you didn't.
I did actually watch it. But, like, I don't understand football. So I wasn't paying any attention. I know that old man Tom Brady won another Super Bowl and that the halftime show was so bad that it made me think about how much we shouldn't be having a live music performance at the moment. Like, it should have been so good that I didn't even think about that, but it was so bad that that's all I could think about.
How interesting. Was it the weekend? I heard it was the weekend.
It was the weekend.
I heard it was the weekend. That's how I talk now. Was it the weekend?
It was the weekend. It wasn't very exciting, and they still were too close together. And then you're just like, why are we having a Super Bowl? We're such idiots.
Unbelievable. It's truly just, it's unbelievable to me. It's the, I don't know, just biggest sign of, like, consumerism, capitalism. What's the fucking point? Do we need to be, 500,000 people have perished in this country, and we need to watch a football game?
Football is terrible. It ruins, like, they have, now that we know that playing football causes irreparable brain damage, which we also talked about last week.
Yeah, like, this is another football episode of your favorite football podcast.
Let's not do it. Just so stupid. And the commercials were dumb. It was just a terrible waste. But I did make nachos, so that was chill.
Well, that's great. All right. Well, today is another special holiday, whatever, episode. I like Valentine's Day. I know it's an unpopular opinion to have, but I think it's cute.
Well, I don't observe Valentine's Day.
What do you do when someone says, Happy Valentine's Day, Nicole? Do you kick them in the shin?
No, if someone doesn't observe Christmas because they're Jewish, they don't kick someone if they wish them Merry Christmas.
Well, speak for ye self. Speak for ye old self.
I will. So, yeah, I decided that we should talk about VD, and I decided to look up what is the deal with Valentine's Day and why do we eat chocolate during it.
I thought you were going to talk about actual VD. You're talking about Valentine's Day.
I'm like, why do people eat chocolate when they have venereal disease?
How did chocolate and venereal diseases become so closely associated? Well, scratch that head no longer, folks. We have all those answers for you here today on Life's Banquet with your host, Matt Damon.
Yeah, so I went deep. I did a lot of research. I got my PhD in Valentine's Day. just kidding. I went to history.com and got a very light sprinkling of information about the history of Valentine's Day. Basically, like all things in our capitalist society, it's a scam made up by the Catholic Church.
Just like the Super Bowl.
The Catholic Church, those old so-and-sos, they actually recognize three dudes as saints who are named Valentine. So, yes, very tricky business. And they were all martyrs, so don't be a martyr. They didn't listen to that advice. There's a bunch of legends around which one of them actually is Saint Valentine and, like, what the whole story is, how it even became a thing. But for the most part, it's pretty much probably all just made up. But one of the legends is that Emperor Claudius II thought that single dudes made way better soldiers than married dudes with kids. Mm-hmm. So he outlawed marriage for dudes of, like, soldiering age. Wow. And this priest, Valentine, was like, oh no, that's mean. I'm going to perform illegal marriages for you guys. Don't even worry about it. And then Claudius found out and killed him. But that's probably not true. then some other people think that whichever one of these Valentines was the right guy, was killed because he was helping Christians escape from Roman prisons, which were, I guess, Roman prisons at the time were pretty sucky places to be.
Not like today with all the pasta carbonara you can eat.
Yeah, abolish prisons. Another legend is that he was imprisoned for something, and he fell in love with the jailer's daughter, who came to visit him, and he sent her the world's very first Valentine, and signed it Your Valentine, because that was his name.
Your Valentine, Valentine.
That also seems to me to be a lie.
Yeah. Sounds fake.
So probably what most likely happened is that, well, they do know this is true. The church made Valentine's Day happen in February because they wanted to replace a Christian holiday with a pagan holiday. So, they wanted to replace a pagan holiday with a Christian holiday. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of February, there is a pagan holiday that everyone was super into called the Celebration of Lupercalia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sexy fertility festival.
Hell yeah.
It was dedicated to Faunus, the Roman god of agriculture, and Rome's OG founders, Romulus and Remus.
Oh, those guys. What a beautiful funnies. Sounds like a fuck fest.
So yeah, they would go into this cave that was rumored to be the cave where Romulus and Remus were raised by a wolf or whatever. And they would sacrifice a goat for fertility and a dog for purity. So that's kind of a bummer. But it was the olden times.
It's fine. So then, there was too many of them back then.
Yeah. So then they would take the hide and tear it into strips, dip the strips in some sacrificial blood, head into town, and slap women and crops with the bloody hides. Oh. So then, you know, you wanted to get slapped with the bloody hide because that meant that you would more likely have kids because it's a fertility festival.
Sure.
I just like that they're also slapping the crops. I think that's pretty funny.
I think it's amazing. I think if I had a bloody hide, I'd slap everything in sight.
Mm-hmm. So then the ladies all put their names in a giant urn in the middle of town, and bachelors would pick their name, and whosever name you pick is like your boyfriend for the year. And then a lot of times people would get married based on that, but they didn't have to. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it's very interesting, Matt. Isn't it interesting? What do you
think? Isn't it interesting how Christianity forced monogamy and marriage onto us?
Yes, it is. Although now in these dark times of COVID, where like I'm realizing that I'm talking to myself more and more, I wouldn't mind picking a name, maybe Matt Damon's, let's just say, out of a hat and having him be my boyfriend for a year, although I'm not attracted to Matt Damon. So maybe I would mind.
First of all, you wouldn't get to pick the name. The man would. And second of all, I'm saying that pagan ritual is good. The Christian idea that you can't have premarital sex and you have to marry one person for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. That idea is wonderful. I love it. I date around. Stay single. Make marriage illegal for everyone.
But then I'm like, who is raising all these kids? Is it like the village? It takes the village to raise them? I don't really know.
The wolves.
This all sounds fun until I have to raise a bunch of fatherless children. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, you don't have to do anything you don't want. You can just go ahead and get yourself a hide and start slapping people with it.
You're right. So they, you know, the Christians tried to take over Rome and they're like, everyone should be Christian. But this ritual actually survived the Christianity problem. So then finally they were like, you know what? We got to make this illegal. So they made the festival illegal and they made Valentine's Day instead. So people are like, look, there's this holiday instead. It's fine. It's totally fine.
How interesting. And
so Pope Galasius, who really knows? He chose February 14th, kind of arbitrarily, but because it was around the same time as the festival. And also because in the Middle Ages, they believed that that was the day that birds started their mating season. So they thought that birds followed a calendar. I don't know. They were crazy in the Middle Ages.
That's wild. Literally.
So then, you know, everyone's like, okay, great, thanks, Pope Galasius. And then good old Geoffrey Chaucer came around and wrote the first mention of Valentine's Day written down in 1375. And that's the first time anyone mentioned Valentine's Day, you know, in a poem. And, you know, it's written in Old English.
But definitely not the last.
It's written in Old English, which I can actually read because I took a graduate level course in Canterbury Tales and I had to read the entire Canterbury Tales in Old English.
Really? When I was growing up, there was a restaurant that I loved to go to with my dad. It was called Canterbury Ales. It was in Huntington. It had a great burger.
Hilarious. So there wasn't really, in the 1300s, they weren't really like giving each other chocolate because they didn't have sugar. So 500 years later, VD had taken the world by storm as a lover's holiday. So by the 1800s, everybody's like, oh yeah, this is when you give your boyfriend a letter. It says, according to history.com, the prudish Victorians were super into it because they really liked courtly love where you don't actually bone each other, but you just give each other a lot of presents and pine for each other forever. Right. So they're like, oh my God, we love this holiday because we can give each other gifts instead of boning each other. And you can watch the movie The Age of Innocence to see what that was actually like.
So. Ooh, DDL, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and Wynonna.
Who directed that? Is that Martin Scorsese?
I don't know.
I think it, like, might be. Wait, who else is in it? DDL and who else?
Wynonna Ryder.
Ah, Wynonna, yes.
Michelle Pfeiffer, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, it's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh,
yeah, wow. She plays, like, the, you know, the slutty one in Wynonna Ryder's one, who's like, oh, I'm so chaste.
I'm going to watch that tonight. Wynonna and DDL teamed up again after or before, I guess, my favorite movie in the history of the world, The Crucible.
God, I've never seen The Crucible.
Another Valentine's Day movie.
The Age of Innocence is kind of boring, but if you want to see Wynonna Ryder in a long vintage dress, just watch Dracula. That's a great movie.
That is a great Valentine's Day movie.
That's a Francis Ford Coppola joint.
Yeah, that is a FCC.
Okay, but let's get back to Victorian fucking England, okay?
So yeah, take me there.
Here we are. Nobody's getting laid. And here comes Richard Cadbury. Maybe you've heard of him. And he was a scion of a British chocolate manufacturing company, family, whatever. Basically, back then, everybody was drinking chocolate. They weren't really eating it. So drinking what chocolate was all the rage. They kind of just figured out how to get it and make it. And Cadbury had just figured out a way to make it taste a lot better and have a better texture. And the result is they had a lot of leftover cocoa butter. And they're like, oh, now you should just make this into eating chocolate. So regular chocolate that we think of today used to be called eating chocolate, which I think is hilarious.
It is hilarious.
Yeah. So then he decided that since they could make it a little bit more easily and put it in boxes and give it as gifts, he actually designed the boxes, the candy boxes himself, which I think is adorable. And while he did not patent the heart-shaped box, he was the first person to ever use one for chocolates. There are all these Victorian chocolate boxes that you can look up on the internet that are very fritzy looking and old that still exist. You can buy them on Etsy.com.
How fun.
And yeah, then everyone just kept giving those to each other. Everyone was eating chocolate, and it was very exciting until World War II came, and sugar once again went away because of rationing. And then no one ever ate chocolate ever again.
Yeah, except for me, like, every night of my life. I'm so addicted to eating chocolate, and it's so odd because, like, I would never describe myself as a chocolate person. Some people wear that badge very proudly. They're like, oh, I'm a chocolate person. Anything chocolate.
Like I'm Kathy really... in the comic?
Yes, like my future self, Kathy, the comic. But I would never describe myself as like a chocolate person. I like chocolate. I guess I love it. But I don't think of myself as someone who loves it. But anyway, I do eat it an awful lot. And I notice, like, if I don't eat it one night, I think about it in a sexual way.
Great.
As more than a friend. And so I think I'm addicted. And
well, what kind of chocolate are you eating?
Just, you know, Hershey's Kisses. No, I'm just kidding. Like dark chocolate, sometimes with caramel in it, sometimes not.
Oh, yeah. I just got some of that. I don't, the brand that has like the little XOXO
yes,
on it.
Yes, exactly. What the fuck is that brand? Sorry, whatever that brand is not very good at branding because we have no idea what your company is called.
Maybe it's called XOXO, Gossip Girl chocolate, but it's salted caramel on the inside. I haven't been really like a caramel person, but I got that and it's really good. And also
it's
this rose chocolate, or it's like, it's pink chocolate. It's Ooh. It's naturally pink. It tastes like berries.
So interesting.
Yeah, it's like a new chocolate came out like a couple years ago. And I actually am kind of into it, even though I don't really like, it's like a because of the way that they process the cocoa bean, it tastes like fruity. It's really, really interesting.
How fascinating, because I've got here in my notes that I wanted to mention to you a commercial I just saw for pink velvet macchiatos from Dunkin' Donuts. So I'm assuming they're probably using rose chocolate in there. Just kidding. It's probably strawberry milk.
What is... Ew. What's pink velvet versus red velvet?
Well, when I hear pink velvet, I automatically think vagina. So I'm assuming it's vagina flavored. I don't know. That was my only guess.
Interesting.
Yeah. A vagina flavored macchiato. So that's all I have for you. Oh,
do you want to take a break?
I do, and also I don't, but I guess we probably should, huh? This show brought to you by XOXO, whatever that chocolate's called. Just kidding. We'll be right back.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
And we're back!
We're back.
Nicole?
Yes.
I loved your story.
Thank you. It wasn't a story. It was hard-hitting research.
I loved this groundbreaking research that you've done. I'm assuming we're going to hear from Cadbury himself. Did it mention anything about when the cream eggs were invented? Because I do love those.
I hate those.
I don't believe you. How could you?
They're disgusting.
Do you think that like if you were interested in somebody and you thought they were attractive and sexy and cool and funny and everything you've ever wanted in a person, and then they pulled a cream egg out of their pocket and bit into it, would that change the way you felt about them?
No, because it's like 50% of the population likes those things.
It is a gross thing to like, and I normally don't think that anything is a gross thing to like. I try not to food kink shame people too much, but it is a gross thing to like, and I like it, and I'm wondering if it has something to do with why I'm all alone in the world.
No. But I do think that it's interesting that the whole premise is that you're eating a raw egg.
Yeah, it is very weird. My friend Sam, one time, he was like, when we were younger, he's like, yeah, I was just like, you know, at the grocery store, I saw this beautiful woman, and she was like, perfect, and I was going to go up and talk to her, and then, like, she put hot dogs in her cart, and I, like, didn't want to talk to her anymore. And I always think of that for some reason when I think of Cadbury cream eggs.
What? This guy doesn't want to date someone who eats hot dogs? He has fucking problems.
I know, but like, it wasn't about like eating hot dogs, I guess. I don't really know what it was. He eats hot dogs. I haven't talked to him in years though, so he could be murdering by now.
Also, you know what? Don't hit on me at the grocery store. I'm just trying to get my hot dogs and get the hell out of there.
Exactly. What about a Cadbury cream egg as a topping for a hot dog?
No. I don't like, first of all, I'm not even that into milk chocolate in the first place. So I don't really like milk chocolate very much. Very few things, like Kit Kats, I'll eat them, milk chocolate situation on.
Mm.
And then you just have this pile of liquid sugar inside. It's so gross. And there's an egg yolk in there.
I know. You know what's worse? If like, you get them like on discount, like after Easter. Let's say it's like June and you still have one, or there's one like just lying around the CVS and it's like dried up inside and it's like hard and dry.
Oh, that happens?
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like reality, right? They're trying to make it real. It's like getting a bad egg. Sometimes you get a bad egg and sometimes you get a dry, crunchy cream egg. That's bad.
No. Oh my God.
Sometimes it's full of hot dogs.
That's really messed up, man.
I know. All right, Nicole, I have a question. I have a joke for you. I know I haven't done this in a while, but get used to it because I'm bringing it back, baby.
Okay.
Why shouldn't you fall in love with the pastry chef?
Why shouldn't I fall in love with the pastry chef?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
He'll desert you. Mu-ha-ha-ha! Broken hearts. It's funny. It's Valentine's Day. Okay. I'm going to tell you, you and our listener, whoever you are out there, if you're still with us, unlike Matt Damon, who we know is dead.
He only listens to my part of the segment, and then he has to skip out.
Okay. I'm going to talk about everybody's probably, I'd say, least favorite candy, but one that I kind of like. Can you hear? Conversation hearts. I have some here at my home.
Thought they were candy cigarettes.
They're exactly the same thing in a different shape. Now, I'm going to take a little bite of one. They're fine. Although,
they're fine.
You know what I think is interesting about these? They come in wintergreen, banana, orange, lemon, cherry, and grape.
Ew, I didn't know they had flavors.
They do. But to my confusion, the grape is green and the wintergreen is white.
What?
Yeah.
I know. Are you sure that they're flavored? Because I feel like they're just not flavored. I can't remember the last time.
They're flavored. Oh, they're flavored. I'm eating a mint one right now and it's white.
I like the ones that come in the box with a little window that is itself a Valentine. Did you get that?
Yes, I did.
Great.
But it is really difficult to determine why the green is grape. Oh, green grape. Green grapes. There are green grapes, people.
Yeah,
that's why.
They use green grapes in the making of conversation hearts.
Okay, well, I'm very glad we got to the bottom of that. All right, I'm going to tell you a little bit about these dusty bits that we've somehow decided to eat and probably cause cancer. In 1847, oh, by the way, I got this information pretty much all from a riveting article called The Origin of the Conversation Heart by Aaron Blakemore in Mental Floss. 1847, when a Boston pharmacist named Oliver Chase longed for a way to get into the apothecary.
There you go.
Apothecary lozenge craze. So picture it. 1847, there is a lozenge craze going on.
They're
that
like,
is how boring everything was.
They love Rucola, or what is it?
Ricola.
Ricola. Rucola is a restaurant. I hope it's still there.
Rugola. Anyway. There was a lozenge craze. Lozenges were becoming extremely popular because it was like a way to take medicine, and people were preferring to take their medicines by lozenge.
Sure.
Instead of shooting it between their toes like they were used to.
But is there still cocaine in it? Because that's really what I'm looking for.
Cocaine in the ones that I just got, I think.
Great.
Which would explain a lot about my behavior this episode. Anyway, making lozenges was very hard and very time-consuming because essentially, when they're talking about lozenges, they actually aren't talking about Ricola. They're talking about these pasty, like, you know, wafery things, like the conversation hearts.
Like Necco wafers?
Well, yes, like Necco wafers. So they were basically made with a mortar and pestle, and then it would, like, turn into a dough, and you had to, like, knead it and roll it out and cut it into discs. And then this guy, your best friend, Oliver Chase, invented a machine that rolled the lozenges into dough and pressed the wafers into discs.
Was it a pasta machine?
It was a pasta maker. And that is how we got your favorite thing, the Necco pasta. So he by doing this, he inadvertently had created America's first candy making machine.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And he created this business and they made miles and miles of what would become the New England Confectionery Company, otherwise known as Necco.
Oh, sick. I'm a genius.
Sick. Necco. This episode is brought to you by Necco, the candy of the future.
Are Necco wafers the same as conversation hearts?
Mm-hmm.
They're just flat?
Exactly. So Necco wafers were carried around by soldiers during the Civil War. And some people say that the tradition of sending greetings to the troops morphed into the conversation arts, that people would like write messages on, because Necco wafers weren't originally, I mean, conversation hearts weren't originally heart-shaped. They were like disc-shaped.
Conversation discs.
Conversation discs. Conversation blobs. Conversation bits. Anyway, so there was a growing market for Valentine's Day cards, which were popularized by Esther Howland. I kind of want to like maybe do a part two. I guess we'll have to wait till next year. But she's the person who popularized the Valentine's Day card. She was also in Boston. So then Oliver Chase decided that he wanted to see if we could print the messages right on the Necco wafers. So
to the troops or just to everybody?
Just to everybody.
Okay, got it.
So actually, this was by another man who did this. Oliver was the guy who created the lozenge, and then Daniel was the guy who, I forget what his last name was. It doesn't really matter.
Daniel.
I put it in my notes. His name was just Daniel, like Prince. He was just a symbol. But anyway, this man, Daniel, Emmanuel, if you will, decided that he wanted to put the messages on it. So in 1866, and he was the guy who owned Necco. In 1866, he figured out a way to print words with vegetable dye during the cutting process. And he had drawn his inspiration from another candy that was out at the time called cockles. And cockles are basically like, they have like a scallop shell. It's actually like a, have you ever had cockles?
Yeah.
The actual, like, they're like
the scallops. Shellfish?
Yeah. It's like a scallop shell. And they used to make a candy called cockles. They were scallop shaped and they called them motto wafers.
Oh, they had little mottos on them.
Mm-hmm. But they were like, they would come with like the wafer, but then they would come with mottos that were printed on thin rolled up paper. So the guy from Necco decided that we should just print them the thing right on the thing instead of giving you a roll of mottos and a roll of candy to pretend they're together. He's like, let's just put this on the same thing. So like 40 years later, they ended up putting them in 1902. They put heart-shaped ones together. And then around the same time, they also made ones that were shaped like baseballs, horseshoes, and watches.
Baseballs?
Yeah, but like watches? Doesn't that seem difficult with a strap? I'm confused.
I don't know. Yeah, but the baseball is basically the same thing as a cockle.
Yeah, exactly. And they also made cock rings. I'm just kidding. So anyway, the first ones were bigger than today's versions, and they had messages that said things like, married in white, you've chosen right. Married in satin, your love will not be long lasting. Married, that doesn't even rhyme. Married in pink, he will take you to drink.
Okay, wow.
What does that even mean?
I thought that it said married and white, you have done right.
That's probably what it actually said, unfortunately. And then other ones said, how long shall I have to wait? And please be considerate. Others said things like, why is a stylish girl like you a thrifty housekeeper? The answer on the other side said, because she makes a big bustle about a little waste.
I don't get it. Also, that's so much to read.
It's so much to read. These things must have been palm-sized. You'd have to, like, spend a fucking whole week, like, nibbling at this awful candy. None of it really makes sense. So, throughout the years, I'm going to read you some of, like, the forgotten ones later, but throughout the years, ones appeared that said, fax me, groovy, and you are gay.
I remember fax me.
Yeah, fax me.
Because I'm old.
Did people ever, like, fax each other, though? Like, as a sexy thing?
Oh, I'm sure. That's, you know, that's what they did back then. It was a different time.
Yeah, interesting. I don't remember fax. I mean, I think faxing went out of fashion before I would have sent a, what do you call it, a sext? That's a fax. A fax.
You could, like, fax your butt.
That's right. I would still fax my butt. In fax. If anyone wants a fax in my butt, just fax me. Okay, and then they partnered with Twilight with Hart saying, bite me, live forever, and forks.
Twilight the movie?
Sure, yeah, Twilight the movie with Robert Pattinson, Britain's sweetheart.
I just watched a movie with him in it. But was it really Twilight the movie?
Yes, Twilight the movie. Do you remember this as a sidebar? But like, I don't know, in like 2000, in the 2000s when like Donald Trump like was tweeting at Robert Pattinson when he broke up with Kristen Stewart and being like, let's go out and party and hit the club. Like, fuck that bitch. Like,
yeah, because she cheated on him with the director.
Right, but it's just very interesting that then we elected that person to be president. I think just based on that should have been enough, to be honest.
Most people who voted for Trump don't know about that time in our lives.
Well, I don't know why nobody brought that up when he was running, because he might not have gotten elected. Do you remember Howard Dean, the presidential candidate, I think in like 2004, who was like on his way to getting the nomination instead of John Kerry, and he was so excited that he was going to get the nomination that he went, yeah! And like, immediately everyone was like, oh God, not this guy. And yeah. Like, I always think of Howard Dean, not because I necessarily think he should have been president, but I just think like, man, no one must be more upset about Trump becoming president than Howard Dean. Because all he did was like one single bia, because he was so psyched he might get to be president. And Donald Trump is like tweeting at Robert Pattinson. I mean, that's really the only thing he did that I can find contentious.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know. I really like Twilight, and I'm here to not be ashamed of that. It's very bad, but it's so fun to watch because it's so bad.
I agree. I watched it. They played it at BAM a couple years ago, and Preston and I went because he had never seen it. And it is so bad. There's so many, like, long stairs, like long quivering stairs. Also, if you ever go to Montepulciano... If you ever get a Montepulciano, it's in Italy. Uh-huh. But they filmed part of like one of the Twilight movies in Montepulciano. So it's like this beautiful.
Oh, yeah, because he goes to the bad guys to be like, kill me because I'm so emo and I'm gaslighting my girlfriend.
Right, exactly. So beautiful town known for its delicious red wines. And you go there and there's fucking Twilight shit everywhere.
There is?
Yes, everywhere. Like in every store, it's like, ah, le Twilight, look at Robert Pattinson, he's a vampire. And it's
like, that is hilarious because I doubt that they would be, you know, above that because it's like a super old city, you know?
No, they're so into it. It's like 20 years ago. It's like, oh, there's like Twilight merchandise everywhere. It's really very odd. It's strange.
Yeah, well, but I think cool. Robert Pattinson does an okay job of convincing me that he is American.
Yeah, sure. He's very convincing. I think I like Robert Pattinson. I see no problem with him. I think he's a good actor.
Yeah, I think Twilight is just funny because I feel like Kristen Stewart is not acting. She's just hunching her shoulders in every scene and being very rude to her parents.
That's true. She has bad attitude in that movie. Kristen Stewart, you're on blast. You know what? I agree with Donald Trump. You are a fucking bitch. I'm just kidding.
I watched this space horror movie called High Life starring Robert Pattinson, which is a huge bummer. But if you're an A24 completist, like I guess am now, check it out.
Cool. I will check it out. Okay. Now, I want to get back to talking about my favorite pasty candy, Necco wafers and sweetheart. They're called sweethearts. Although the ones that I got today, because I went to CVS to get mine, that I now work for CVS. Try CVS for this. They don't have the regular conversation hearts, the Necco or the sweetheart ones. They have Brock's. And
what are those?
What's a little second tier. They're fine. You know, I gotta be honest. The messages, some of them are hard to like see. They're not like imprinted. Like I remember when we were kids, they seemed like they were like branded in there, right?
I don't have that memory.
Oh, well, I could be wrong. These are just barely on there. This one I'm looking at says Yaz, which I take issue with.
Yaz? Yes? Like short for Yasmin?
No, like Y-A-A-S-S-S.
Oh my God.
This one says only you. This green grape says real love.
So that's why they're flavored like that, because I don't think the regular ones have those.
They crazy do. The flavors. Regular ones had those flavors too.
What?
The sweethearts, they had the same exact flavors, but I'm going to go on to tell you a little bit more about the flavors if you just wait two goddamn seconds.
Okay, well, so, I don't need you to read me every conversation heart that you have in front of you, okay?
I'm just giving the people what they want, Nicole. So Necco estimates that it makes nearly 100,000 pounds of hearts each day throughout the year in preparation for Valentine's Day, which
nobody's
to me sounds
eating them.
Like the most wasteful fucking thing that I can honestly imagine. And I think these are very cute. I'm glad that I could go into the store today and get them. But I also think it's a tremendous, tremendous waste because nobody is like craving these, right? Like maybe you get them and you eat one or two, but no one's like, oh God, you know what? I would, but I have to go home. I have a pack of conversation hearts with my name on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come on.
No, they're not very, they're like circus peanuts.
Yeah. You know what? They make 13 million pounds of them per year. And that's over 8 billion hearts. 8 billion hearts.
Do they make anything else?
Necco wafers. I mean, Brock's those... makes a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, Brock's is chill. I'm into Brock's.
I don't really know what else they make. Brock's makes jelly beans and candy corn.
Brock's is like what we would get Russell Stover and Brock's for Easter in my home.
Oh, yeah, me too. For sure. And we did get some cod brew as well. And it was Reese's for every holiday, whatever shape Reese's there was. So anyway, they did some marketing research in the mid-2000s and showed that children prefer bolder tastes and colors. So they got rid of their classic banana cherry wintergreen and came in bright blue raspberry lemon and green apple.
Okay.
This caused a huge backlash from boomers who wanted their old candy back. And the boomers took to their favorite platform.
Facebook.
And they made Facebook pages. This is, can you imagine? Now we have the waste of time and money making these candies. Now people are using their time to make Facebook pages created to spread the word. And fans ranted on blogs and Facebook pages about the new confection saying toxic, yuck, and tastes like aspirin. So,
what do they think that the original ones taste like?
I have no clue. In a response, they brought the old flavors back to please God. The boomers because kids weren't going to eat them anyway. So it's like,
yeah, I mean, now we know who's eating those things.
Exactly.
So, everyone in Congress.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell's favorite candy. He looks like his favorite candy would be conversation hearts, which is a clear sign of a sociopath. So anyway, some of the old phrases that are no longer around that I thought were funny. Dig me, hatcha, saucy boy.
What?
Saucy boy.
No, I heard you. I was just exclaiming in disbelief.
No, I'm talking to Matt Damon. He's getting out of control over here. Saucy boy. Girl power.
Okay.
Cool dude. This one doesn't make any sense. My comma such eyes. Oh, my such eyes. That must be what it is.
But weren't the boomers, I guess the boomers can't read what's on the actual heart because they're old. So they don't really care. Yeah. All right.
They're just like, give me another fistful of banana ones. You are late.
Okay.
You are gay, which I already mentioned, which I'm not sure, like, I don't understand why that was on there. Is that supposed to be like I don't know. The 90s were a troubling time.
Yeah. Just watch Friends. For all the homophobia you need.
Exactly. One-stop shop. In a fog.
What?
Yeah. Pen pal, whiz kid, class act, let's read. Nature lover. Heat wave. Honey bun, sugar pie. Table for two.
Let's read.
Yeah. Nature lover. Well, I never. So anyway, that's some stuff that I wanted to tell you about. Everyone's least favorite candy, conversation hearts. You know what? The green grape is probably the best flavor if you're going to eat one of these little dusty old things. It's made my headache worse. Biting into it was traumatic into my brain.
Stop eating them.
They're here in front of me. They make a great sound for more ASMR in this episode.
Isn't there an orange one?
Yeah, that's orange.
I just feel like in my mind they're all just very gently peppermint flavored, and they don't actually have any. If there was a banana flavored one, I would have hated them more because I hate candy banana flavor.
You know what? Do you remember Runtz?
Yes, of course.
Do you know Banana Runtz?
Disgusting.
I don't mind them. I used to like banana BB Bats. Do you remember BB Bats?
No.
BB Bats are like a throwback candy. They're like a penny candy. But they were like from the 50s, but they had them at like this little old-timey candy shop at my house. I did love banana BB Bats. My mom loved them. They're taffy, like hard banana taffy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just also feel like it's just not necessary to make green apple the flavor of every freaking candy. Like, Skittles green used to be lime.
And that was the best.
And now it's green apple, and it's rude.
It's extremely rude. Lime, that was the best Skittle.
It's delicious.
I was a person, and I assume I still am. I haven't had Skittles in a while, but I think I'd still do this, where I'd put a bunch of Skittles in my mouth and let them, like, warm up. And then mush them into, like, one massive Skittle.
You let them get to body temperature?
Yeah, I let them come to temperature in mine mouth.
Oh, gross.
Can I ask you a question? It's personal. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Now, for top three today, I thought we could talk about just kind of free-forming some of our favorite and least favorite Valentine's Day candies.
Oh, okay. Valentine's Day candy, since I don't observe it, I don't automatically... Oh, you know what I do like are those Dove hearts. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty good.
Those are great.
Over this Christmas time, I got... Actually, no, it wasn't Dove. It was those Lindt truffle balls. So it's like a ball of chocolate on the outside and the truffle on the inside. I was like obsessed with the white chocolate ones. Those are very good.
They're delicious. Great texture.
Yeah, the creamy, creamy chocolate. I can't think of any other Valentine's Day specific candy. There, I guess Sweethearts makes like a heart shape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are good. Well,
you know what I was thinking maybe you'd have some strong opinions about, though? Like the different kinds of chocolate in a box of like Russell Stover chocolates.
Oh, I do. Okay. Last year when I still had a job, I gifted my staff like a Whitman sampler that was on sale at CVS after one of the holidays. And we brought it back. And that luckily, that one has like a road map on it that tells you what every flavor is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I ate the ones that I wanted to eat and then I left them there. And it was just funny to see the ones that were still there, which were like the vanilla cream ones. Nobody wanted to eat those.
I like the vanilla cream. I think the vanilla cream is delicious. But then again, we also know that I'm a Cadbury and cream egg enthusiast, super fan.
Basically the same thing. I like the strawberry cream ones. Those are pretty good.
See, we have nothing in common, Nicole. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why we're friends. I truly, like, I'm not a super picky eater. And I mean by that, I mean I'm like not a picky eater at all. I would eat one of those, but I really don't like fruit and chocolate together. It's not my thing.
I don't like orange or raspberry, but for some reason strawberry works for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, like, it's fine. I'll do it. It's just not really, like, I wouldn't spit it out or be like, oh, I couldn't possibly, but it's not my favorite.
I don't like the caramel ones with the thick, chunky caramel in the middle. I hate turtles.
Oh, I like that. You hate turtles, the animal, or the candy with the nuts and the caramel? Or both?
The candy. A turtle? I got no beef with the turtle. They're cute.
Yeah, they're cool. They are kind of just like a frog in a fancier outfit, but that's fine. It's like a frog and a rock had a baby.
It's like a frog wearing a helmet.
It definitely is. I really don't like those. I think my number one least favorite thing Valentine's Day wise, aside from these horrible chalky hearts, I don't really like the chocolate with the cherry on the inside, like maraschino cherry that oozes cherry juice out.
Oh, you know what? So this year, or maybe this isn't the first year, but this is the first year that I've been really going to CVS a lot. They made, for Christmas, Hershey's made those, but without the cherry. They just had the juice on the inside.
Ugh.
It was so good.
Oh my God. So it was just cherry juice inside a chocolate shell?
Yeah.
Oh, God, Lord of mercy. No. I really wouldn't want to eat that. No, that's not for me.
Those chocolate-covered cherries, though, were my grandpa's favorite thing, so he always had them in the house. And I would always just bite them and suck out the cherry juice and not eat the cherry.
Oh, God. Well, I'm glad I never met your grandfather. He sounds like a monster. Just kidding.
He's very grumpy.
I really love, I love any kind of special Reese's where the Reese's is, like, bigger than it's supposed to be and in a different shape. So Reese's hearts are...
Are those a thing?
Yeah.
I know there's, like, a Reese's egg. There's also Reese's Christmas trees. And I saw this year there's, like, mystery Reese's, which is clearly just, like, the ones that were supposed to be Christmas trees but, like, melted wrong.
You're like, it's a dildo?
It's like, this is just a blob of chocolate with peanut butter in the middle. It's fine.
It's a ghost in a sheet?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
You know, I don't like those candy necklaces, which are basically conversation hearts.
Also. Oh, I like candy necklaces because they're more tart.
Yeah, that's true.
And they have more flavor. And then, Valentine's Day candy, what else do I like? I guess there isn't that many Valentine's Day candies, really.
No, Easter's really the big, you got Christmas and Easter.
You know what I do love? I love in a Valentine's Day candy box, my favorite thing to get is like a chocolate-covered, like, coconut pile.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I don't love
like
it.
Like a little mounds covered in dark chocolate.
I like the Russell Stover's chocolate-covered marshmallow iterations that they have.
That's good too. I agree with you. Now, where do you fall on lava cake? Blazing lava hot cake.
I'm not a huge chocolate cake fan, so I wouldn't like go out of my way to create it.
Yeah.
But if someone else ordered it, I would eat it for sure.
So the year is 1994. You're on a date with a guy who's wearing a collarless button-down shirt.
Okay, I'm very young.
And, you're very young, too young to be in a date. And he orders, after you guys have, like, beet salad and, like, some kind of Southwestern thing with, like, a red pepper puree and Vidalia onions, you have for dessert a molten chocolate lava cake. You would eat it, though.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Okay. What's not to like? It's liquid chocolate inside a chocolate cake. That's good.
It's drinking chocolate.
Yeah. But you know what I just thought of when I was thinking? So I do like chocolate-covered marshmallow, but I hate Peeps. I despise them.
Really? I like Peeps. They're fine. I haven't had one in a very long time. But
they're just gross. They don't taste like anything. But I hate them. They kind of taste like powdered chemical flavor to me.
Well, it's very interesting. Sometimes when I think about stuff like Peeps, I'm like, what are we eating? Like, what? How did, you know what I mean? Just because you can eat it and it doesn't kill you immediately when you eat it doesn't mean it's food. You know what I mean? Like, our definition of food has stretched so far. And we're all like, how is it that, like, there's such, like, high cancer rates and stuff? Like, we shouldn't be eating Peeps. And that's not to say, like, I'm not trying to shame anyone. If you like Peeps, I'm not trying to do any shaming here. I'm just saying, like, it is very interesting sometimes when we think about confections like this, like, you know, just, again, because it doesn't kill you upon ingesting it doesn't mean it's food.
Have you ever put a Peep in the microwave?
No, isn't that how you kill a Peep? Like, the same thing, whereas you, like, kill a gremlin, right?
They get humongous. I suggest Googling it rather than doing it yourself because it can create a bit of a mess. But if you don't know what happens when you put a Peep in the microwave, check it out, guys.
Amazing. You know, I was listening to last podcast on the left yesterday, and they did an episode about spontaneous human combustion.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, like, some case where, I don't remember where it was, but, like, they were noticing that, like, toads, this is, like, literally my worst nightmare ever. I was, like, cringing listening to it. I don't even know I'm repeating it. But they were talking about how they noticed that, like, toads were, like, just out of the blue expanding to, like, three times their size and then, like, bursting. And so they thought it was, like, spontaneous combustion. But then they realized that what was happening is that crows became, like, obsessed with toad liver. So the crows were diving down and picking their livers out. And then as a defense mechanism, they were, like puffing up. But since they had a hole in them, which they didn't realize, they were, like, exploding.
That is psychotic. Also, spontaneous human combustion has been debunked, right? It's no longer...
No, well, you should listen to this episode. Not necessarily. No, it's not. It's like, it's not necessarily been debunked.
Interesting. Okay.
Got to be the worst possible way to die, to just all of a sudden, like, burst into flames? Or is it the best way to die?
I don't think that you can do it. I don't think it's real.
Don't dare me. Okay. There's nothing I like more than a dare. So I'm going to find a way to spontaneously combust whether you like it or not.
It's just not possible for the human body to heat itself up to a temperature where it would dissolve bones. Like, even when you get cremated, there's still bone chunks in there. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, have you ever been in really bad traffic on the BQE? Am I right? That's for all you New Yorkers out there. Anyway, well, this was a very fun episode. I hope that you have a very loving Valentine's Day. I hope you do something sensual. I hope you bathe in chocolate. I hope you eat strawberries from someone's toes. What else?
I don't observe Valentine's Day.
Not yet, you don't. But Matt Damon, America's most dead sweetheart, is on his way to your
You know
home.
What I'm going to do? I'm going to do the pagan festival where I sacrifice a goat and a dog and slap people with hides covered in blood. From a 6-foot distance with a mask on, of course.
I'm going to do the thing where I participate with, like, people picking names out of a hat and they become my boyfriend for the next year. But I'm going to put all the names in and all the names are going to be mine. And all the people picking...
are gonna be Matt Damon.
I'm just kidding. I'm not attracted to Matt Damon. I think I must have already said this episode. I just want to make it very clear.
You said it so many times that we now know that you do have a crush on Matt Damon.
I don't even like him. I don't even know any of his movies. Okay. But seriously, Matt Damon, I'm not really attracted to you. But I do think I like the little guest spots on Saturday Night Live. I'll give you that.
Huh, I don't even know any of those. But that's
it. But that is it. So, in conclusion, Valentine's Day, we have determined mathematically, is in fact very cute.
And you should not eat peeps.
Peeps are not available on Valentine's Day, though. But I'm sure they are now.
They are. My stepmom bought them for me recently.
In the shape of what? Dog skin?
No, they're heart-shaped.
Oh, that makes more sense. All right. Well, whatever you do, whether you skin a dog or eat a log of cookie dough or go out for some molten lava chocolate cake, don't do that. Don't go to restaurants and endanger your servers with COVID. Whatever you're doing, I hope that you do it with grace and style.
Yeah,
we love you very much and have a happy VD to you. Blessed VD, one and all.
Bye.
Bye, Asla Pasta. Life's Banquet is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Or connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click at the heart at the top right of our homepage. And thanks for listening.